like what we have to say, and you can hit us up on Twitter about what you don't like and what you do like. But this week, we are giving away Black Cat Carnegie's number 2 variant edition. And John, what's the question?
So this week, DJ talked comics out in the wild. Where was he and who was he talking to?
All right. That's a good one. And out in the wild. Yeah. So now answer the question on Monday. The first person to answer that question in the reply to our FOC update. So on Mondays, we'll send out the FOC reminder. First person to reply with the answer gets the Black Cat Carnegie's number 2 variant edition. All right. Good luck. And let's head into the podcast studio.
All right.
Hey, John, what do you think of the new digs?
That's a pretty impressive setup you have here, man.
Hey, we're in the same building.
I know.
It's the first time since we started this podcast that I didn't have to fly down to Houston, get into the door so we could record a podcast.
So how are your arms right now?
Oh, they're rested. They're very rested. I didn't have you flew in.
That's right. And boy, are my arms tired.
There we go. There we go. Yeah, we're in, for the first time, we're recording a podcast in the same building.
Right.
We've never
history
done this before.
History in the making.
History in the making.
You guys can say you were here when.
Yeah, or you're in your cars or wherever you are right now, mowing the lawn. these are usually like 2 hours long, so they're probably in multiple places.
Right.
We got this new audio for us. We've got new mics, new setup. This is a whole different way that's taken me all week to figure out how to do. This is like the normal way people do it.
Yeah, right.
We kind of do things backwards.
Then next week we'll be back to just the way we always have done it. So,
yeah, the long way. Yeah. This seems like it's going to be easier for a week. So let's start off with some tweets from the week. We had a conversation. Iowa Joe and Dr. Joe. Iowa Joe, I am excited for Lois. Dr. Joe, me too. DJ talked pretty glowingly about it on the latest pod. And then Iowa Joe, yeah, I try to get the books he talks up. And then Dr. Joe comes back with, both DJ and John have yet to recommend a stinker. Granted, these types of things are subjective, but I find myself in line with their tastes in books. I don't read everything they suggest, but so far the ones I've chosen to read have all been excellent. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
He's right. Everything's subjective, and that's going to be the way it goes. You know, it's like, our listeners, if they like what we recommend, great. If they don't, okay, well, move along.
Right.
Did you see, I got this one from on Facebook from Edward Syracusa, the Tom Brady and the Gauntlet. The new Iron Gauntlet.
I didn't see it.
You haven't seen that one?
No.
Oh, boy. He sent it to me. And he's like, I'm sure you've probably already seen this. It came out. Tom Brady put it out, I think, 2 days ago.
Okay.
And he sent it to me. My mother sent it to me. My sister
Tom
sent it.
Tom sent it to you?
No.
Oh.
Tom
did. Like, wow.
Well, actually, yeah, I follow him on Twitter, so I think it showed up on my line because he sent it directly to me.
Okay.
DM'd.
He DM'd DJ.
Yeah.
DM'd DJ.
Yeah. And the gauntlet, but it's just the regular Iron Gauntlet. I didn't think it was. I thought I was looking close to see if all those rings were in it, but it's just
a gauntlet.
It's just him and the Iron Gauntlet from Endgame. But that was a hot topic.
Oh,
a few
I imagine.
Days ago, and everybody knowing that what I'm doing now, like, did you see this? So ever since we put out the tweet about Hulk, we got a bunch of feedback on that. Jeremy Armstrong. I actually like this movie, feel like hating on it is the cool thing to do, better than the previous Hulk movie. I think we're going to get into that part. Yeah.
Well, that was a low bar. But
yeah, I actually didn't mind that one, but I do remember seeing the Ang Lee one and walking out and going.
Yeah.
Me and my buddy saw it at the midnight showing, and it was, even walking out of that, I was like, that wasn't what I expected. Let's see, what else we got? Oh, Ed, this is on Facebook again, Edward Syracusa. The Norton one is okay. The first one with Eric Bana is unwatchable. Okay, that's two votes. Iowa Joe, I like it. I don't love it. Definitely don't hate it. And then Jim Conlon came back with, agreed, it's a perfectly okay superhero movie. And then Jimmy Boone at Jabby56, can you really call the Hulk a superhero? And then Jim Conlon was, I was referring more to the genre of the film, but yeah, he's a superhero. Would you call him? I guess.
We'll get
into it a little bit later, but...
He's more of just a force of nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
That seems to be on the side of right more often than wrong, but...
Until he gets his focus as Professor Hulk.
Right.
And then Dr. Pop Culture, at Dr. Pop Culture BG, better than at least six of the other Marvel movies. That one intrigued me.
I tried to think of what six he might be thinking of. I can think of a couple that it's better than, and I know we'll discuss that again a little bit further, but I don't know if I could find six.
Yeah, I know I can. I know I can't, because I have it ranked dead last.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't, yeah, that would, but everybody's, I've seen lists that have, you know, movies at the top that I'm like, wait a minute, and they have, like, Endgame in the middle.
Right.
So, I mean, to each his own, that's fine, but it's.
Well, again, everything's, you know, it's like we said, everything's subjective, so.
Exactly. Dr. Joe. I'm not entirely sure I've ever watched this movie all the way through. It'll be interesting if John and DJ can talk me into popping into the old DVD machine for another go. I recommend giving it another go.
I think so.
We just watched it, and I mean it really is a movie that should be seen in a decent theater. It has some really good pop to it. Good sound.
It does.
Good sound. What'd you think? You'd never been in my theater.
I had not. It was pretty impressive. I'm already drawing up the blueprints in my head of how I can build that in my own house. But
yeah, you were saying to your wife, you're like, this isn't that much smaller or bigger than,
I don't
than
think
the
it
spare
is.
Bedroom.
I need to,
hey, you can
find out the dimensions of those rooms and see what I can do.
Yeah. So. The size of the room doesn't matter. You can do it. You just tone everything back, but it'll sound exactly the same.
Right.
And look the same, too. And then at Waters Creighton says, Norton was a better Banner than Ruffalo. What do you say to that?
That's a take. well, I mean, I'm trying to think. I don't know that I disagree. I like Ruffalo, but I mean, I'm a big Ed Norton fan. I really have always liked him in just about everything. So, and I think any problems that this movie may have had were not due at all to Ed Norton, so...
No.
I think, yeah, I mean, he was really good. You know, again, I like Ruffalo, too, so I don't know if I could say one's better than the other, but...
It's a tough call because you look at it and go, you like Ruffalo because of where that story went with Ruffalo.
Right.
And then you fall in love with that character and how he portrayed it. But had it been Norton all along, I don't think we'd all be like... Well, one, we wouldn't even know who Ruffalo
right.
was.
Right.
Like, that Mark Ruffalo guy would have been perfect there.
Right.
Like, you know, the guy from that Magic movie? Right. Not Magic Mike.
yeah.
I don't think he would have done so well in that one.
No.
So, yeah, that was it. Good conversations this week.
Yeah.
So, what do you got for news? Because I lost my notes. I've been busy trying to figure this thing out. So,
well, I had a few things. The first one is, you know, Netflix took a little heat after Stranger Things appeared because of so many characters being depicted smoking cigarettes. And a lot of groups were complaining about that. And Netflix has come out and said that they're going to stop. Maybe not stop 100% altogether, but they're definitely going to tone down the depictions of smoking in their TV shows. So I was wondering if anybody had seen The Punisher, and maybe we should be talking about cutting down the dead bodies in TV shows and not worry so much about the smoking that's going on. This is a show about the 80s. And
yes,
if you were alive in the 80s like I was, even at 10, I had a cigarette hanging out of my mouth. So
the candy ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody smoked everywhere you went. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's more of an indictment of the times than
right.
anything. And, again, I just think it's another example of people with too much time on their hands.
Well, yeah.
Too many things to complain about.
You know what's funny is, here's what I thought. My daughter told me about it and about the Netflix thing. And what I was thinking is, why are you announcing that you're doing it?
Right. Just actually
just
do it.
Because you know what? If you took all the smoking out of Stranger Things, like it never existed, nobody would be saying like, well, that's not a historically accurate depiction of the 80s because a lot of people should have been smoking.
Right.
Nobody would say that because there were plenty of people not smoking too. It's just in... I don't think it's bad to have it in there because it is an accurate depiction,
right.
especially those people in those stressful times. They always just showed them lighting up after, you know, when they're nervous, upset, or whatever.
Right.
So it worked. But if you're going to eliminate it, just eliminate it.
Right. Just let it slowly go away.
Right.
And
it's like they want the publicity of, look at what we're doing. We're
right.
getting rid of smoking. No, you're getting rid of acting of smoking.
Right. Well, but again, to me, it's more just another corporation that's bowing to, like, kind of the public pressure.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't really even want to get into the whole Nike thing.
Right.
You know, but, I mean, corporations, you know, I mean, I get, you know, obviously the consumer is always right, quote unquote, and, you know, people will vote with their dollars regardless, but, you know, corporations... seem to be increasingly kowtowing to, like, public, you know, demands on how they should operate their businesses. And I don't think that's really necessarily the right way everything should be going. So, I don't know. Just my opinion.
No, I agree. But they, unlike us, although we did cut out all the smoking in our podcasts.
Yes, we did.
And we want credit for that for everybody.
And the dead bodies, for that matter. Because you should have been around the first couple of episodes.
Yeah. Like, there were four of us.
They were piling up.
That's the way it goes. But they need to do stuff like that. I understand that. Because they are a public company. They need to create an image that and bend to what people want. That's part of their business. And like you said, the customer is always right.
Yeah.
So, what else you got?
So, the Gambit movie is officially dead. I guess
again?
Fox, I guess it's come out. They've come out.
Tune in next week.
Yeah, right. Disney has come out now and said that it's, you know, it's not going to happen. So, I don't think that's a big surprise to anybody. I mean, this thing's been in development limbo for 5 years probably. And really, once Fox fell under the Disney umbrella, I don't know who thought any of these X-Men movies were really going to continue anyways, but it is now kind of been announced that it's officially not happening. So if you were waiting for that, wait for Disney to figure out who their Gambit's going to be, and I'm sure something will come along.
Yeah, well, I'll wait till next week when it's back on.
Right.
With Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah. All right, so next up we have Warner Brothers announcing the name for their streaming service. You know, we've been talking about...
This is crazy.
Yeah, on again, off again for the last few weeks what the Warner Brothers streaming service is going to be. So it's HBO Max is the name of the streaming service. looking for a 2020 release. Not sure that's going to convey the branding that maybe they would want to convey with their streaming service.
The only thing, you know what I wish they did instead of called it HBO? Went back to the home box office.
Right.
Because then that would actually seem like the home box office, the idea of that is it's your movies. Your home movies. You know, your home your destination at home for your movies. So... But the HBO Max just feels like it's going to be like all HBO stuff. You know,
right.
Although Disney Plus isn't all just Disney stuff. So I guess that's fair that way.
Right. But I guess you have no, there's no mistaking that Disney Plus belongs to Disney. You know what I mean? Like, it's,
yeah,
their brand is intact. I, you know, does everybody know that Warner Media owns HBO and Cinemax?
I had no idea until this. I knew HBO and Cinemax were owned together.
Right.
But I had no idea that they owned them.
I, like I said, I just don't know that this conveys the brand that they're hoping to convey. But all that being said, at the end of the day, I don't know if the brand really matters, if it's a good service and it's going to have value. The first announcement was a little vague, but it seems to read to me like this is going to include basically a subscription to HBO and Cinemax, which makes me wonder what the pricing structure is going to be on something like this. You know, I'm not willing to throw down $30 a month for, you know, HBO, Cinemax, and XYZ included.
Yeah. And Disney's coming in at what?
At $6.99
a month.
Now again, I'm just throwing $30 out there too because they haven't announced any pricing.
Right.
But and it may not even include this, but it's definitely going to have basically all the HBO catalog. So why wouldn't it just be a subscription to HBO? Or Cinemax.
We talked about this, about tiers, back in the fall when we talked about Disney Plus and
right.
speculated on how they were going to run their system. And maybe they'll, you know, we'll say the same thing here. Maybe they'll do the same thing like HBO Max, and you can include HBO with a full HBO with that for X price.
Right.
But maybe the HBO Max is just your destination for Warner Brothers, for DC, maybe DC Universe gets rolled into there.
Well, that's the other interesting thing, though, is there's no mention of DC Universe at all in this article. It does talk about the Berlantiverse and the CW DC shows being available. And it also, in some of the imagery that I've seen, had like Justice League and some of the other Warner Brothers movies that are not available on DC Universe right now. Now, DC Universe does have a huge panel coming up at San Diego Comic-Con in 10 days or so. So maybe we'll find out more there on that. But so I'm not quite sure that, you know, we've had heavy speculation that they were going to roll in together, but I'm not quite sure that's going to happen here. Which then now just goes back to our original, you know, kind of gripe about how many streaming services am I going to have to subscribe to.
I had on another podcast I listened to, a home theater one, a guy broke it down. And it was pretty funny because the two guys hosting the podcast were going back and forth with, all right, I'm going to cut my cable now because he went to all streaming.
Right.
And he added up all of the things, and Disney, he was adding in Disney Plus, saying like, look, for $7, this is worth it. And then he said, I'm going to keep my Netflix. I'm going to do this, and I'm still coming in cheaper. I'm saving $120 and over having my cable, and he's getting everything, right? All his live TV, you get through whatever. He had the whole thing itemized out. And then the other host is like, and did you have to up your internet for that?
Right.
Oh, yeah. And that was $55.
Right.
And he goes, all right, now I'm saving like, I'm only saving like $50. So it's all going to come around. You're not really going to save here or there. And like he said, he was running cable and Netflix. So maybe that'll be a savings in the future. Who knows how all this is going to go? I know we'll probably get it. Because it's it depends. If DC Universe isn't rolled into it, what's going to be the draw?
Well, I guess if I could get this in place of, like, if I could drop my HBO subscription from,
right,
you know, DirecTV and have this come in with the same content at around the same price, and then I just get everything else as a bonus, then I would be inclined to do it regardless. But if I have to keep my HBO subscription and my DC Universe subscription and Disney, Netflix, Hulu, and whatever else I have, I don't know that this is bringing enough to the table because I can get the CW verse on CW already. I've seen Friends 100 times, so I don't need to see all 10 seasons of Friends
again. Yeah, you said that's one of their big things.
Is one of their big things that they're touting. But, you know, they've also signed exclusive deals with Greg Berlanti, with Reese Witherspoon, with Kaley Cuoco. They've got a Dune television series that they're working on. So, I mean, they're not resting on just past content. They are going to have original things happening as well. But is it going to be compelling enough to bring you to subscribe to another service?
Yeah.
And that's what we don't really know yet. I feel like coming in anywhere too much above $7 a month is going to hurt them a lot because that's where Disney is. And we know Disney has tons of content, new and old.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're hoping to compete with that, I don't see how you can be coming in at $15, $20, $25 a month.
Yeah, that's it. Well, it's, and the other thing is it's a change, and people don't respond well to change.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting to see how these things go. And I mean, I'm excited for Disney Plus.
Right.
And everybody that we talk to is, I know a couple people, I think Pete.
Yeah.
Pete on, he's going tooth and nail. He ain't going near it.
He's not going near it.
Yeah. All right. What else?
All right.
And then, is this the last one?
This is last but not least, yes. You know, have you seen this Halle Bailey casting for The Little Mermaid?
Yeah.
So I have just got to say, like, at this point, I am sick and tired of the recasting of our favorite characters from our childhood and having to be, I guess, politically correct with the casting of what we do. Because I grew up watching The Little Mermaid, and I have to say, every time I watched it, from the waist down, she was all fish. And this Halle Bailey girl, I mean, she's got legs. So I just can't understand why in Hollywood we have to continue to change our beloved characters.
Why are we giving them legs?
You know, I mean, if she's not half fish, she shouldn't be playing Ariel. And that's really just the stance I'm going to take, and you can't convince me otherwise that is a wrong position.
That's okay. You know how old I am? I was like, isn't she kind of old for the role?
Yeah.
I thought they was Halle Berry.
Oh, Halle, yeah. Well, the name is...
The wrong one.
The name is very similar. Yeah, I had to do a double take on that the first time I saw just the name without the picture.
I heard somebody with a really good take on it. He's like, what are you upset about that for? He goes, why is the lobster or whatever? Is it the lobster? Or that has the... what's his name? He's got the Jamaican accent?
Yeah, Sebastian.
Sebastian. Yeah. And he goes, he's a Maine lobster.
Right.
He shouldn't have a Jamaican accent. And he knew the difference in lobsters. He's like, the lobster claws are bigger in Maine.
Right.
The claw itself. He goes, the ones in Jamaica don't look like that at all. He's like, he should have a New England accent.
Right.
He goes, this is all wrong.
Under the sea.
Yeah. That's what they said. Under.
Under the sea.
Yeah. That people got to be upset.
I know.
You know? I just had to put it on podcast.
You know, just to put a little bit of a serious bent on it. I mean, again, once again, just people going crazy, you know, about casting.
Yeah.
I mean, are we not past this already? You know,
it's ridiculous. I didn't think anything of it.
And then second of all,
it took me about a half hour to be like, oh, this is going to go bad.
Right. Second of all, if you've really seen, like, the Little Mermaid version, I mean, the Disney version is also not the only version of the Little Mermaid. That's a fairy tale from Hans Christian Andersen that goes back, you know, I don't know, however old he was.
I was not into Little Mermaid.
But what I'm saying is, in the original fairy tale, she wasn't a white, red-haired girl either. She was kind of like green and scaly from head to toe. And,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Not really that attractive to look at. So,
I wasn't into Little Mermaid. I like my girls to have legs.
Yeah. Well, she did get legs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Oh, you ruined it for me. All right. So, anything else?
No. That's it.
All right, let's get into some comic books. So, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right, so this week our speculator roundup is kind of light. The only book I really saw was a book called Second Coming, issue number one. So this book was originally solicited by Vertigo Comics maybe 6 months ago. And, once again, another example of a company that bowed to pressure, because a lot of people were upset about this book. You know, it has a lot to do with religion and Jesus, and a lot of people were not happy about the depiction here. And DC, who, you know, obviously was the owner of the Vertigo imprint, decided to bow to pressure and canceled this book. So it was picked up by another company, and same creative team, basically the same exact book, and it did hit the stands today.
Yeah, so, Slade told me about it this morning. I almost grabbed it as a recommended reading, but I had many books already. I'm kind of interested in it, though.
It's not my cup of tea at all, and I'm really probably going to stay away from it, but. You know, I ordered it for the store because I don't censor what my customers can buy. And, everything has a right to exist. Once again, you don't have to like or approve of everything. But, you know, this one does have a little bit of heat. Like I said, it's selling for $7 to $8 right now. There are two covers. The B cover seems to be just a bit more in demand than the main cover, but not by a large margin. So either one. You know, would be about the same if you want to go out and grab it.
Yeah, I picked it up. It wasn't really, it's not like it was crazy. If it had like some like crazy art that I was interested, I'm not saying the art was bad, but nothing really drew me to it other than the fact that I knew it would be controversial.
Right.
So that's why I wanted to get it. But I already had a bunch of books for today and I was just like, all right, I got to draw a line somewhere. But it was intriguing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like I said, it's an interesting premise for sure. It's not for me necessarily, but it has a right to exist. So, to each his own. All right, that's it for Speculator Roundup this week.
Cool,
pretty light.
So, back issue bonus.
Yeah, so back issue bonus is pretty much just Speculator Roundup from last week. I think we really talked about almost all of, well,
all right,
not all of them,
along.
But quite
Everybody
a few of them.
Go back and listen.
Yeah. So, just go back and listen to last week's Speculator Roundup. So, of course, the first book on the list is Walking Dead 193. Talked about it, pretty in depth last week, but for those that didn't listen, I'm not going to tell you. Go back and listen, and you'll know. but... This is currently selling for anywhere from $25 to $40. I did mention last week that there are more of these on the way. I know my backup shipment did get confirmed, and I'll have my copies next Wednesday. So I think most stores that reordered will get their books. So
at the latest, right?
Cause at the latest, because I didn't expedite mine. There are stores that may already have gotten replacements in. But I know I get mine. But they also, like I said, I know for a fact they were confirmed and my order got filled. So I think that for the most part, there's more coming. Not to say that, you should just rest on it. Like if you are looking for it, I still would try to go out and grab a copy. If you can't secure one at your local store and you can find one under $20, it's still probably worth grabbing. No matter what, it's always going to be the last issue of The Walking Dead. Unless you pay $100 for it. But, whatever you pay for it, it's probably always going to be worth that and then some. Because, the series it's not going anywhere else. This is one we didn't talk about last week. This kind of flew under the radar a little bit, but it did come out last week. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, issue number 95. We introduced a fifth turtle to the lineup after, 35 or so years of Turtles. Character called Jenica, and she is also the first female turtle. So that issue now is selling for $18 to $25. And the 1 in 10 variant is selling for right around $100. So, again, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, again, obviously been around for a long time and do have their fans. For me personally, it's not a huge seller in my store, so I probably only ordered one or two copies of this. I haven't been there in about a week, so I'm not even sure if I still have them or not. But I don't know how many stores order, you know, upwards of 10 or 20 copies to get these 1 in 10 variants. And that's probably why it's going for, you know, $100 or more. Also from last week, No One Left to Fight, issue number 1. This one is actually gaining heat pretty much just on word of mouth because it was a pretty good book. So this is one I got a chance to read about a month ago. The writer for this book actually contacted me directly at the store and asked if he could send me a advanced copy of it to read and promote. Might have been even longer than a month because it was before the initial order was due, so it was probably about 2 months ago. So I let him send me a copy and I read it. This is really kind of like a anime style Dragon Ball Z / Street Fighter kind of comic book, and it's really going to appeal to fans of those genres.
Cool.
Again, wasn't really my cup of tea because that's not my thing.
Right.
But I could see, you know, where it would be.
But you thought it was good.
I thought it was good. I thought the writing was good, and I thought the art was good. The art was done by Fico Osseo, who did the Marvel Super Action for the Marvel IDW crossover series. He was doing that. And shame on me, but I can't remember the writer's name. But this one is sold out, and it's selling for about $20 right now. So, like I said, if this is the style of book that you like to read, this was a pretty good entry, so I would definitely go in and pick it up. moving on to Zombie Tramp issue number 61, the Stan Lee tribute cover. Once again, we talked about this last week, so nothing new here. Still selling for about $70. Not going to go down in price at all. So if you want one, you got to pay. I don't know that a lot of stores ordered tons of this cover because, like I said, to my knowledge, this was undisclosed artwork until it actually hit the store. So if I had seen that in advance, I would have ordered a whole lot more copies than just the two that I ordered. okay, next is Sandman issue number 1 and issue number 8. So we talked last week about the announcement of the Netflix series that they're going to be working on. So, of course, these are key issues for Sandman, some first appearances. Issue number 1 selling for about $75, and issue number 8 is selling for about $130. So, you know, once again, these are not going to go down in price. This is a confirmed series that's being worked on from Netflix. So these are going to continue to be key issues going forward. So go grab those. From Marvel, we have Annihilation Conquest Wraith, issue number 1. This is another character that they're expecting to show up sometime, you know, in the MCU. I don't know where these rumors come from, to be honest with you. Some people just say they think these characters are going to show up, and all of a sudden everybody starts buying these books. Because I haven't heard anything about this character appearing in the MCU. But needless to say, regardless, it's selling... excuse me, sorry. Selling for $25 to $50. And a graded 9.8 recently sold for $150. So wherever the rumor's coming from, I mean, it's got people looking to pick it up. Also from Marvel, Incredible Hulk, number 418 and 419. So I neglected to put this on here, or I almost didn't put this on here because the reason why is a spoiler for Spider-Man Far From Home. So I don't think I'm going to tell you right now why it's going up.
Okay. And tell me later.
If you listen to last week's episode from Spider-Man, or you saw Spider-Man, you can send me a tweet and ask me, or you could just Google these issues and find out for yourself. But I just don't want to spoil the Spider-Man Far From Home for those who haven't seen it. But issues 418 and 419 of the Hulk do have tie-ins to that movie, so obviously anything that has tie-ins to a current Marvel project is going to see some demand. Issue 418 is selling for around $20 and 419 for about $12. From DC, we have Adventure Comics, issue 381. So again, there's been a lot of talk recently about DC Entertainment focusing more on Supergirl with upcoming movies. And, you know, obviously she has her TV show. This is her first solo story. And obviously that is garnering some interest because of, you know, the increased talk about that. So this one is selling for about $330 for a CGC 9.0. And this is a key. You know, this is a key book. It's been a high price for a long time anyways. But, you know, I think just all the talk about the Supergirl movie is going to keep this thing going up for a while. And last two, we have Ultimate Fantastic Four, issue number 21. So last week, Marvel announced a new Marvel Zombie series. This is the first appearance of the Marvel Zombies. So we're not quite sure what this new series is going to be about, but just the fact that they're doing Marvel Zombies again has people, you know, wanting to go back out, and there's interest in this book once again. So $10 to $20 is what you're going to pay. There are a lot of them out there, so it shouldn't be too difficult to find, but do expect to pay, you know, anywhere from $10 to $20 for it. And last but not least, Black Cat issue number 1. There's a Walmart exclusive cover that's been included in some of the Walmart sealed comic 3-packs. Not sure if it's shown from the outside of the 3-pack or not, so it may just kind of be, you know, finding the treat in the Cracker Jack box, you know. Yeah. You just have to buy him and see what's in there. I haven't actually seen one in person, so I couldn't tell you one way or the other. But this is selling for about $15. And that's it for a back issue bonus.
Oh, all right.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
I got tired of talking.
Speaking of Black Cat, this week, if you answer the question, which we don't even know what the question is yet, we're giving away Black Cat Carnageized Variant Edition.
That's a sweet cover.
Yeah, that's didn't you have that a couple weeks ago in the FOC?
That was one of the ones I talked about.
And we sent that out. We tweeted that out. So.
Yeah, and then next week, the Captain Marvel comes out.
Captain Marvel,
which is still my favorite.
Maybe we'll give that one away as well.
Maybe so.
So we got to come up with a cool question, which. We're talking about it now, but they already know because we put it in before. So
that's right.
They're yelling at us right now. Right. We know the question. We know the move question. Move along. All right. So we'll move along. You're yelling at us. We'll go. Yeah. All right. Let's go on to Final Order Cutoff.
All right. So FOC this week, we have DC variant covers, Batman issue 76, the Year of the Villains, Gabriel Del Auto variant cover. We have Deceased issue number 4, Francesco Mattina. Feels like we haven't said his name for a while, so it's nice to see old Francesco
does, yeah.
Back in the spotlight. Green Lantern issue 10 by Kerry Andrews, Lois Lane number 2 by Yasmin Putri, and Young Justice issue number 8, John Boy Myers. And there are no new series from DC next week. From Image, we have a new series, Coffin Bound, issue number 1. I only saw one cover for this, so that's what you're going to get. but that is a new series, and it doesn't look like a miniseries because there was no number of issues attached to it. So it's probably a new ongoing. From Marvel, we have two variant covers, Black Cat, issue number 3, the In-Hyuk Lee variant cover, and Immortal Hulk, number 2, the brown variant cover.
Number 22.
I'm sorry, number 22. Yeah, number 2 is worth about $120. That's not the one. And then several new series from Marvel. We have Absolute Carnage, issue number 1 of 4. There's about 2,500 variant covers for that. So
you even put it in the notes.
I did.
Yeah, I'm like, 2,500?
Yeah. There's a lot of variant covers for this. And like I said, we mentioned it last week, Absolute Carnage is going to be the War of the Realms, you know, for the next month and a half. There's a whole bunch of tie-in
starts
stories.
Starts August, right? First week of August.
Starts in August, yeah. You know, there's the main 4-issue series, and then 5 or 6 tie-in miniseries, one-shots. Yeah,
I don't know if I can do that.
It's the whole shebang.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of reading coming up with that.
I'm looking forward to House of X.
Yes.
And we're doing the midnight. I'll be at Friendly Neighborhood. You'll be on. We'll record that night.
Yeah, House of X should be really good. I did get to see a 10-page preview of Powers of X this week also.
Oh, yeah, because you saw the preview of the preview house.
Right.
Okay.
So,
how was Powers?
You know, again, also it looked good, but 10 pages just isn't enough to really tell you what's going on. I will tell you, though, that Powers grabbed me a little bit more than House of X did.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it seemed like an interesting opening to it.
So did you get to see how, like, it's going to play? Like, is it different?
How are they playing
versions
together? No, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Both of these are 40-plus pages on the first issue.
Okay.
So 10 pages really is just a, like
quarter.
I said, it's a scratch of the surface.
My quick math, that's like a third.
But they're bigger than I originally thought they were. Like, I was thinking that they might be around 30 pages.
Oh,
but these
bigger
are,
in
length. More pages, yeah.
Right. Standard size.
Yeah, these are 40-plus pages, so there's a lot to it. But it, like I said, it really looks great. The art also on Powers is fantastic. Not the same artist as House, obviously.
So they're each running six.
They're each running six.
So it's a 12-week run.
Right.
Any talk of what that's going to lead to after the fact?
Well, definitely a new Uncanny X-Men series that's going to be written by Jonathan Hickman.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm sure they'll spin off various X projects, but I haven't seen too much announced other than, like I said, I know they confirmed that Hickman will take over the main Uncanny series after these are over. So, yeah, something to look forward to. It really should be cool.
Yeah. Okay, let's get back to what we actually have here.
Yeah, so the next new series is Agents of Atlas, issue number one. This is going to be a 5-issue miniseries. There are 5 covers for this. This is just more of the same. We just talked about War of the Realms, New Agents of Atlas.
Yeah.
We've had the Arrow spinoff last week. We have Swordmaster coming up. So, again, Marvel's putting a lot of stock into these characters. The Arrow was actually pretty decent. I don't know if you got a chance to read it.
No.
It's really done in the – which surprised – this surprised me a little bit because – Agents of Atlas was not done in, like, an anime, manga-style art, but Arrow definitely was, and so was Swordmaster. So they look really, really cool. I like that style of art. It reminds me of, you know, being a kid watching, like, Star Blazers and stuff on TV.
Yeah.
But I was just surprised because Agents of Atlas wasn't done that way. So it was an interesting change, but... Like I said, it was really cool.
That's the market they're going after, though, right?
It is, yeah.
It's that, I mean, and these characters are all from that part.
Right.
Over...
Yeah, they're all APAC characters, Asia-Pacific characters.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's why I think... I would have liked to seen Agents of Atlas done in that style, if that's where they were going to go with it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we can't go back and redo what's been done, but...
Sure, we can.
Well... So I don't know what Agents of Atlas is going to look like, if it's going to be done in that style or not. But anyway, that's coming up. Future Foundation, issue number one. There's 3 covers for this. This is a Fantastic Four spinoff. I imagine it has to do with the kids. I don't see a number of issues attached to that. So I was actually surprised by that because I thought this was a miniseries, but it might be ongoing. So we'll have to see where that goes. Marvel Comics Presents number 1000. Not technically a new series, but there are more than one issue. So it's kind of like a 2-issue miniseries. There are also 2,500 covers for this. this is a big book also. It's $9.99. It's 80-plus pages. You know, this is kind of in the vein of, you know, Marvel's trying to capitalize on the action in Detective 1000s. You know, obviously there's the same amount of covers or more and same style and size of book. This one's just a little bit more quirky because I don't know what it's I don't know what the issue 1000 is referring to. I don't know if it's, I mean, it's Marvel in a whole has done more than 1,000 issues of comics. So it's not the 1,000th Marvel Comics. I don't know really what this is other than Marvel trying to capitalize on the issue 1000s, but
well,
But it's got a lot of good art. You know, I mean, it's got a lot of good talent attached to it. And I'm sure it's going to be an interesting anthology type story. It's just not going to be, you know, when you had detective or action, it was anthology based around one character. You know, they were all Superman stories or all Batman. This is going to be a mix of all of Marvel. So we'll have to see. But I know there's at least two of those coming. And then Punisher Kill Crew issue number one. This also spins out of the War of the Realms Punisher miniseries.
Yep.
This is also going to be a miniseries, 5 issues, and there's multiple covers for it. And then finally from Dynamite Comics, we have Death Defying Devil issue number one. This is multiple covers. This is slightly less than 2,500, but there's quite a few covers for this too. So, Dynamite's actually trying to put a lot into this book. They're really trying to make this character be something for them. So, I haven't had a chance to really look at or read anything advanced for this, so I don't know what it's going to be about. But the art and the covers look pretty cool. You know, definitely has a Daredevil feel, Daredevil/Batman feel. But we'll
just
see.
Just the title we'll sounded like that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it for FOC.
All right. Let's get to recommended reading. And what do we got this week? We got two. One that we shared.
Right.
And so why don't you go first? We'll do that one last. Why don't you go first with your other one?
Okay. So the first book I have is Strangelands, issue number one. This is from Humanoids Incorporated. This is also written by friend to the show, Magdalene Visaggio. Art by Vanessa Del Rey. Cover art by Mike McCone. So
let me give a little backstory here. So John's up this week, some family business. And he's been really busy, so he hasn't been able to get to the store. So I picked out the books this week. And this one, actually, just the cover itself just grabbed me off of the rack. It just, I don't know why it kind of stood out. But I was like, oh, that's, you know, I saw it was number one. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll pick that up. I grabbed it. I flipped through it. I was like, oh, I threw that in the stack. I get home and I look and I see who the author is. And I was like, all right, I'm not going to read that one. You read that one. I'll read this one, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, I legitimately picked it because I was interested in it. But and that now I'm very interested in your take on it because I don't know what it is.
Well, so first thing I have to say is this is part of a larger imprint that Humanoids is putting out. They have what they're calling the H1 universe. And this is actually the second book that came out for this. I didn't really know that this was the case, but this book suffered a little bit by the fact that I didn't read Ignited issue number one, which I think kicked off kind of where this is going.
So it's
because,
tied in.
Because this is definitely tied in, because the characters in here are two of the Ignited. But there wasn't really a lot of the backstory of what that meant. Until I got to the end of, you know, so I was a little confused, but when I got to the end of this, there was a 2-page preview of Ignited issue number 2. And
so it sounds like it's going to be like a House and Powers of X
right,
type deal.
Right. So then when I got to the page after that, then they started advertising like the H1 imprint, and, you know, there's Ignited, now there's Strangelands, and there was one other book that they were showing also. So, that being said, it wasn't super hard to follow, but I kind of felt myself wondering all the way through it, like, how these, like, what the Ignited were. And what it boils down to is it almost felt a little bit like Umbrella Academy again to me, where it's just, these people are just randomly developing powers. You know, they're being ignited, and their powers are coming to life. And I think that was probably explained a little bit more in, obviously, in Ignited issue number one. But this book focuses around two characters whose powers kind of work in conjunction. They have to be in proximity to each other, otherwise their powers go crazy. So they can't get too far away from each other, and that puts a little bit of a strain on them you know, to have to stay together all the time.
They have to keep
basically
their powers
linked.
Are linked together.
Yeah. So, you know, you come to find out, you think they're brother and sister or husband and wife for half of the book because they have the same last name. But then you kind of find out at the end that that's just a coincidence. They're not really related at all, which is weird because then why are they linked together? But yeah, so they've kind of got like a love-hate relationship going on where, you know, they have to stay together, but they don't really like each other all that much. They're trying to get rid of their powers, and that's kind of what this story focuses a little bit on. I don't know that I really loved it, but I will say that this was a departure from what I have read of hers so far. Because I know when we talked about her last time, it was really a lot more of the teenage angst and, you know, that kind of stuff. And this was not that at all. It was really a completely different type of story.
So how'd she do, though? How was it?
Like I said, I think she did all right. I found it a little confusing at times.
But that might
not have been her. I didn't know, though, until the end that I was missing a piece.
Right.
I just thought that it would, like, I was not picking it up.
That's fine. Funny they don't put that at the beginning, though. A lot of books that do that, they'll tell you right at the very beginning.
Right. But see, you can also see right there at the top where it says H1 ignited. So they're all going to have that imprint, I think, on them. So, like I said, I can't fault her necessarily for that because maybe it was just because we were missing pieces of the puzzle. But towards the end of the book, it started to even explain itself a little bit more and you know, I was able to figure out what was going on. But like I said, basically, they're trying to get rid of their powers. They've gone to see this doctor that supposedly is able to cure the ignited.
Yeah.
But, you know, we kind of find out that he's not really – he's up to no good.
Yeah.
You know, so as you would expect. So, like I said, I don't give it my highest recommendation, but I feel like I maybe was a little harsh because – you know, you probably would have been better served if you had read the other book first.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that they're, you know, this is a company that's, you know, obviously a smaller imprint. Humanoids Incorporated isn't a big company. And that they're trying to kind of do this linked, connected universe is kind of cool. So I might keep an eye on it just to see where it goes. And, I mean, if nothing else, I'll go back and read Ignited number one just to see if it fills in enough that, you know, maybe all of a sudden this book I'll like a whole lot more.
Right.
Because I read the other book. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. I read, because I also had to read War of the Realms Omega. We'll get to that afterwards. Our final War of the Realms update.
I know.
But.
Dun, dun, dun.
Quick read. I read the Batman Universe number one, which comes from the Walmart books.
Right.
It's originally published in Batman Giant number 3 and 4, the story. It's a fun read.
Yeah.
Fun, simple, quick. Few people popping in. That was very interesting.
Tom King, though, am I correct in that?
Bendis.
Oh, it's Bendis?
Yep.
Okay, I thought King was doing those stories.
Bendis, Darrington Stewart?
Okay, well then now I'm wondering if that's Bendis' first Batman story.
Brian Michael Bendis, Nick Darrington, artist, and Dave Stewart, colorist, and Josh Reed, letterer. So, Batman Universe, Part 1.
Cool.
And it's, I do like the story. I liked how it's basically a, there's a robbery. It deals with the Riddler, starts right off on the first page. Pretty cool. How the Riddler it is a back and forth at the beginning with, of course, Alfred and Batman and criticizing the Riddler. You'll see if you read it. And then guest stars, a few people pop in. I won't tell you. I saw after the fact in a couple of the descriptions of it, they actually give it to you. And I don't want to do that because I thought it was pretty cool when you turn it and you're like, oh, that's cool. He's there. And then there's one at the end as well. That you're like, oh wow, another character pops in. It was a fun read. This is like another one of those summer reads that I, you know. Speaking of what, I'll get to that talking about Batman. My mind just went elsewhere, okay. But I'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, so
I know this was a very Batman-heavy week because we had Batman and Detective.
That's what I was going to
get
to.
Yeah, and Batman Universe.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So, all right, I'll just get to it right now.
Okay. I didn't realize I was taking that from
no,
you.
No, so all of this equipment that we have here, I had to go and buy at Guitar Center.
Right.
Because we had mics, and that's it. I didn't have the cables. I didn't have the stands. I didn't have all the stuff. So I made a few trips to Guitar Center. And one of my trips there, I ran into this one of the salesmen that helped me, Dorian. So he helped me out. Everybody was great there the entire time. But Dorian afterwards, he's like, oh, you know, I tell him what I'm doing. He's like, oh, you have a podcast? What do you talk about? And I said, oh, we do comic books. And the day before I told the guy, and he goes, oh, cool. Just ended.
Right.
Well, Dorian was like, really? And he just like, you know, perked right up. And he's like, so what comic books do you, you know, what's your favorite comic book right now? Well, what's your favorite comic book? I said, all time. Right now,
right.
What, you know, you got to give me, he goes, well, right now. And I said, right now, I got to say Batman.
Yeah.
I said, I'm reading so much Batman and it's almost like I can't even get in. This was yesterday. So it was even before Batman Universe. Right. And he's like, oh, and I started talking about it. He knew a couple of the different stories. I talked about Batman Who Laughs. I talked about, Batman, the latest three series.
Damned. Oh, okay.
I said, Batman Damned. He goes, how was that? So I told him about that. I told him how it suffered from the gaps and, you know, delays. And maybe it would be good if you read it all at once. And anyways, we had a great conversation. But in the middle of it, he lifts up his shirt for, you know, his work shirt. And he's got a Batman t-shirt on.
Oh, yeah.
Underneath.
Nice.
And then he gets into this whole, he's like, you sound like you're a DC guy. And I was like, actually, no, I was a Marvel guy. I leaned Marvel, but I liked both. But now, just all of a sudden, I don't know why, but he's a huge Punisher guy. So he started telling me all about Punisher, all different stories. And we had a really good conversation. And he was talking about, I said Punisher had like no morals. And he was like, no, he has really good morals. I go, well, that's the wrong way to put it, but he kills a lot of people.
Right.
And then I told him about our discussion about Hellcat and Trish and how she – and I didn't ruin it where she ended up.
Right.
But I was like, you know, she's under that scrutiny. She go, you know, she does that. And then – but then you got Punisher running around just killing willy-nilly.
Right.
So – but anyways, my whole point in all of that was – it's another opportunity there where you just, it's like, just tell these people, you
right.
know, just, it's great conversations. And he actually took a bunch of my cards, our cards, Bright. He's like, you got any cards? And I was like, yeah, I have my backpack. So he's like, oh, cool backpack.
Yeah.
So I gave him a bunch
of
cards.
You and that backpack, man. Everybody wants that thing.
I know. So it turns out his sister does all the promotional stuff. For what the heck is the name of the place? Oh, That's Entertainment in Worcester. It's
okay.
Like this huge comic book store. He's like, have you ever been there? And I was like, no. He's like, you got to go in there. It's the biggest comic store anywhere. And I said, really? Because I go to Friendly Neighborhood, and that's what I thought was the biggest. And then he told me about the size of that one, and then I told him about Friendly Neighborhood, and I said, but Friendly Neighborhood, he goes, that one at Friendly Neighborhood might be bigger because it's only comic books.
Right.
And theirs does games. They have a whole, you know, it sounds like it's a bigger area, but they do other things as well. So, but he wants to put us in contact with his sister. So I was like, cool.
Sure.
I was like, yeah. So, I mean,
I've heard of them. I've never been there, but I have heard of the store.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I didn't know there was one in Worcester, or maybe that's where I heard it in passing, but. But his sister runs everything, does all their promotional stuff, gets the artists in, does everything. And I was just like,
cool.
Great.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun. So I'm going to definitely be going back and talking to Dorian and hopefully meeting his sister.
Cool.
So, all right. What's our, that's a nice little sidetrack right there.
Yeah.
Our last book we read together.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we didn't read it together.
Well, no.
We both
yeah,
read it.
You read a page and I read a page.
That's right.
We both read this book. So, go ahead.
All right, so this is Reaver, issue number one from Image Comics. Writer was Justin Jordan. Art was done by Rebecca Isaacs. Cover by Becky Cloonan. So this was the Dirty Dozen.
Okay.
If you've ever seen the Dirty Dozen.
So before we get into what this book was about and what it was and we start talking, did you like it? I didn't.
Not really.
I didn't. Yeah. I liked it a little bit by the end.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I wasn't crazy. You say it's the Dirty Dozen. I thought it was Suicide Squad.
Maybe. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, same thing. I would argue they're the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was like Suicide Squad. This whole book is almost like the opening 20 minutes of Suicide Squad. Right.
Well, even in the promo for it, they call them the Hell's Half Dozen. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
So, I didn't see that
till after I realized that I was thinking it was the Dirty Dozen. But yeah, obviously there's only six of them. So
yeah,
I guess Dirty Half Dozen.
Right. And that's I was thinking Suicide Squad. And I was just like, because it's just the same characters. But then if you read at the end, they say something about Conan. Like this would be good for Conan fans.
Oh, well, because it's a different world. I mean, it's not Suicide Squad or Dirty Dozen in the sense that it's World War II or in current time. And this is set kind of in, you know, a Game of Thrones setting.
Yes.
You know, it's definitely in that type of world. So maybe, you know, I could see where they could say Conan fans because it's a sword and a sorcery kind of vibe to this. But at its core, it's just the same old story. It's just kind of what we've already read. You know, in Suicide Squad, you have Amanda Waller putting explosives in all of their heads, and she keeps them under control by threatening to blow them up. In this book, you have them basically all being poisoned, and they get to have an antidote once every day as long as they stay in line and they do their job. So,
and exactly. I don't want to give away too much.
Well, but I mean, it's exactly
that's why
that,
I was like,
you
yeah.
know,
I was so. And like every page I read, I was like, okay, it's so at first, right. The first couple of pages, I had no idea
right,
where this
because,
was going.
Yes, that wasn't apparent right away.
No,
it wasn't until they started getting the band back together.
Yeah, and
you know,
I know it's like when you're reading stuff like this and you're like, you start to realize what it is, and it's not a, oh yeah, cool, it's a I don't know if you like Suicide Squad, if you like Conan, you like
well and I do
Dozen.
Like Suicide Squad and I like the Dirty Dozen, but and you know, let's be fair, there's only so many themes in comics,
right.
And they get used over and over
right.
and over again. So this is just the latest example of that. I guess it's just how well they get reused over and over again.
Right.
And I don't think this is the best example of
either
the Suicide Squad
or
the Dirty
Dozen. It could
be
a case of, like you said, if you're a Conan fan, if you're into this type of – maybe that would – and that's why I was interested. Like, we didn't know which book we were going to read,
right.
To split this week. And after I read this, I was like, I read my books first, and I was like, here, you've got to read
this. You read
this,
yeah. Because
I do not want to explain this one by myself. I knew we were going to share a book this week, so I'm like, I wanted your take, because I know you're a big Conan fan.
I am.
Red Sonja fan. So I was like, I wanted to see what you thought, and it's funny you share the same.
But that didn't come through for me. Like, I didn't like
didn't
this book because
either.
I'm a Conan or Red Sonja fan. I didn't really relate them together at all.
Me neither. And that's why I was surprised to read that at the end.
Right.
And it's in, I think it's the writer's write-up at the end of the book,
right.
And he describes it a little bit like that. I definitely see what he's saying, but it's not evident as you're reading it.
Right. I did like the art.
Yeah, so did I.
I thought the art was pretty good. So
very detailed.
It was very detailed. And, the pacing was really good. I thought the art was... It told the story because there was a lot of panels where even pages where it was a lot of just the art telling the story.
Yes.
And it was done very well. It wasn't hard to follow. It seems like we're not giving anything this week a really high recommendation, but
I like Batman Universe.
Well, that's true. but sometimes it is what it is. But Like I said, this just kind of felt
Dorian.
A little...
Dorian at Guitar Center was awesome.
It felt like a little bit of a tired trope to me, and it wasn't the best example of it, so.
Okay. All right. All right, let's move on.
Yeah. Hey, you know, like I said, sometimes it is what it
is. Yeah, it is. Exactly. War of the Realms, Omega, final wrap-up, which basically, it was a really, really fun read. It was a fun wrap-up. It's basically the whole Daredevil story. Daredevil wants to, basically in the opening page, he doesn't want to give up the sword just yet, back to Heimdall, to be like, all right, he wants one last glimpse.
Right.
And so that's where this story goes. And he wraps up a few things, and one of them is... So one of them is Punisher, and they all lead into what's going to be coming down the road with, and that one was pretty good. I don't think I'm going to continue on that Punisher story. Another one was Loki. That one I'm definitely not going to continue on. I really didn't have much of an interest in that one, but the other one was Jane Foster.
Valkyrie. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't want to say that.
Oh, well.
But I know. We all know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've talked about the series last week. So.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a really good story. And in here, it actually, all the stories were good. I just don't think I'm going to continue on the other two. But the Valkyrie one, I actually would like to continue on that, especially with the story coming out of Omega. And then it wraps up with back to Daredevil again. Right. But it was a good little wrap up to the entire thing.
I was going to say, I guess the question is it necessary reading, you know, to wrap up the War of the Realms? Because I really felt like it was wrapped up pretty neatly.
Yes.
With the War of the Realms.
It's all wrapped up. This is basically just exactly that. It's just a commercial.
It's a commercial for what's
for
coming
three
next.
Books right. that are coming down the road. Maybe Daredevil. I didn't really get that. Maybe I missed it, but I don't know if that's good. If it's gonna. Maybe I missed that, but I really liked the Valkyrie story. The Loki story I could do without, and the Punisher story. It's not a Punisher story. I think I would want to follow. It's going to be a good story, but I don't know if I'll follow that.
Okay.
But, yeah, you don't need to read it. It doesn't add anything more. The War of the Realms is wrapped up. This is just for, you know, hey, let's link them to these books.
Right.
So, but if you've gone all the way through, that's what I would say. If you've gone all the way through, well, pick
right.
it up.
Right.
You might as well finish it. So, all right. Anything else that you read this week?
No.
We did not have time.
No, I did not have time.
I am dying to get to all of these books. My Batman, I got the Event Leviathan books. Superman. There's so much to read. So, all right.
Yeah, I'm super behind. I haven't even read 80% of last week's books yet. And then I have all of this week's books. So
yeah.
I'll have a lot of reading to do when I get home.
Well, you got a flight.
I do.
But
I don't
your
have...
arms are flapping.
That's right.
Hard to hold the pages.
I can't read and flap my arms at the same time.
Exactly. So. All right. Are you ready to get to the topic?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into that.
I've got a problem. There are aspects of my personality that I can't control.
See a shrink.
It's a little bit more complicated than that.
Bruce, trust me when I tell you, I've heard them all.
Not this one.
All right. Having just watched The Incredible Hulk, let's start off with where did you have it ranked in your MCU?
I didn't because I
don't
do that.
You don't remember?
No, I don't really do that. You know, I only do that when
really?
You ask me.
I'm asking
podcasts.
You.
I don't have a mental note that I keep of where I rank all these movies. You know, I probably hadn't seen this in, I don't know, 5 years or at least or more. So it wasn't I don't remember it being super high, you know, up on my list at the time. But and you know, well, I'll tell you what. When I saw this movie in the Marvel in the MCU, this was ranked number 2. So there you go.
Exactly. So a month later, you had it at number 2.
Right.
So where would you put? So I would put it. I've always had it as last. And from everybody, anytime you ever hear this come up, that's what I always think of. Is that it's just the Incredible Hulk is the last, or if they're not ranking it, they say it's horrible or it's the worst. Or
I don't think I would have had it last even before seeing it again today. You know, it definitely isn't super high. You know, I mean, it's not top 10 or anything, but I mean, I can think of a couple that, you know, like Iron Man 2, for instance, was probably a lesser movie than this.
See, I liked Iron Man. I like all the Iron Mans better than this.
You know, before I had seen Thor Ragnarok again recently when we did our podcast, I had that ranked fairly low as well.
Ragnarok?
Yeah.
Really?
Not Ragnarok. Dark World.
Dark World.
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely don't think it's the worst Marvel movie. I didn't think it was before today, and I don't think it is now. So,
okay. So, where do you think then? Where do you think this went wrong? Like, why do you think? I mean, where now? We just saw it,
right,
and clearly enjoyed it,
right?
But why do you think it gets that bad rap? Because we don't have to do our typical breakdown of the movie. This movie's been out since 2008. Everybody knows the movie. We can talk about a couple of things that we liked here and there in the movie. But I wanted to do more of a, like, you know, why does it seem to always be considered one of the lower of the MCU? And not to defend it, but where does it go wrong? Or maybe it doesn't, and it's just one of those, is it one of the worst of the best movies we have
to
choose
from?
That's
what I was going to say. You know, something's always got to be last.
Right.
I mean, anytime you have more than one of something, something's going to be first and something's going to be last. So, but that doesn't necessarily make it a bad, you know, a bad thing.
Right.
And then, like you said, is it the worst movie in the context of all the Marvel movies? Maybe. But again, does that mean it's the worst movie that came out that year or the worst, you know? I've never really heard anybody say it's the worst movie they ever saw. Or, you know what I'm,
right,
you know what I
yeah
mean? And so if the context they're using is in relation to the other MCU movies, you know, I sort of understand that. And then the other parts of it is, look at some of these, like, you know, again, I was looking at IMDb right before we started just to refresh a few things. And a lot of the reviews on there, even the negative ones, were from, you know, when did this come out? 2008?
Yes.
Right. So,
yes.
Right. So a lot of these reviews I'm reading are 2008, 2009. Well, how many Marvel movies had been released at that point?
Right.
So, you know, as more movies get released, this will raise, you know, rise or fall.
Right.
You know, based on what comes after it. So, you know, again, if your only comparison back then was to Iron Man, well, then it's the worst Marvel movie that they've made.
Right.
Right. So,
see, I don't even remember back then as it being that bad. I don't remember walking out because...
Well, no, I don't either.
When I think it was definitely considered better than the previous Hulk movie.
Oh, without a doubt. Everybody, yeah, I think everybody would agree with that. Even if they didn't think this movie was good, they all thought it was better than the Ang Lee version. So, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know that it really did go wrong, necessarily.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I thought, especially watching it again today. I was trying to think of another movie in the MCU that is an origin movie for all intents and purposes.
You just stole my thunder, man.
But yeah, there's no origin story.
Right.
And the only one I came up with is Homecoming. Spider-Man Homecoming. is the equivalent right. to this, where we're expected to already know the backstory.
Right. And that's actually, that was the really what I wanted to open with, and you just stole it from me. But
we've been talking about this for how long?
But yeah, well, but no, I didn't get my chance to open. So, but yeah, since this, you know, we had a Hulk movie previous, obviously.
Right.
But it was not connected in any way to this or the MCU. This
was not by Marvel, right.
This was not considered like the Hulk 2. So right, and I noticed that as I was watching it today that the entire origin was told in the opening credits,
right?
Without really any, with no verbal communication happening.
Right,
it was just, you know, images, and you're right. You were expected to put it all together,
and some of those images they seemed to be from the TV show.
It
almost looked like they used the same changing face when Bill Bixby would – it was his, it looked like it was his face.
Right.
I don't know, because they use it later in the movie too.
Well, I did know – right. I noticed that as well. It was very reminiscent of the –
there was a lot of
the
callbacks.
Old show.
Yeah.
You know, even with the – like the gamma machine or whatever it was.
Yeah,
with like the green
– the grid on his head.
Yeah, the grid on his head. It was very reminiscent. And then, you know, of course – 10 minutes into the movie, we had, you know, sad Hulk music,
yes.
which came directly from the TV show. So,
and him, the walk,
right?
He basically in the show, every show, he was walking across the country,
right?
But that was the one. If in 2008 people were going to criticize it, that would have been, maybe they didn't say that specifically, but it almost like you just came in mid story, and this is only Marvel's second movie
right.
that they'd ever produced, and I don't know if that was like you got a great origin story in Iron Man and then this, and I think that there's a contrast there, and they kind of hit the ground running with it, but some people maybe were taken aback by that.
Maybe so, and maybe because of when it came out, because some of the criticisms as these movies have progressed over time has been the slow starts of a lot of them because they were telling the origin story. Where in this one here, you jumped right in.
Right.
Like you were right in the middle of the action. So, you know, again, you can't have it both ways.
Right.
You know,
right.
You can't have a detailed origin story and complain about that and then not get one and complain about that too.
Right.
So,
thing is, I don't ever remember anybody complaining about that, but maybe that was something that, like, I've always ranked it as one of the lower,
right.
But I didn't know why. I didn't know, like, what did the others have that this didn't have? And that was just one example, but I loved Homecoming.
Right.
But we had been dying to get Spider-Man into the MCU. Because
before that,
we only had him in Sony.
But even with Homecoming, we had, like, again, this movie was our first introduction to the Hulk. Mm-hmm. In the MCU. Even with Homecoming, we had Spider-Man already.
Right.
So, you know, granted, we still didn't get an origin story, but we were introduced to the character previously, where in this case, you know, coming in fresh off the street, you weren't introduced to the character at all. So,
yeah.
And, you know, again, I don't know if that contributed to, you know, the detractors or not. Honestly, I really don't get it. You know, I just, like I said, we just finished watching it, and it's very enjoyable. You know, there's some things I think as we go along over the next few minutes that we'll talk about that, you know, there are a few criticisms.
Like, go ahead, because opened up the last one and you told me I stole your thunder.
Well, you did
so
steal
why
my thunder. Well, I mean, of course, the biggest criticism that I heard about the movie over time, and I also share it, but I share this with, I feel like this is the case in most of these types of movies, is the last 20 minutes or so of these movies that is just complete CGI. It's literally like watching a video game. You know, there's no real human elements to it. It's just the CGI monster fighting the other CGI monster. So I know that was something I heard back when it first came out, but I've said that about Wonder Woman. I've said that about this movie. I've said it about Justice League. I mean, I've said it about a lot of like I said, a lot of these comic book movies. And, you know, again, don't get me wrong, because the end of Endgame is also just one big giant CGI. But there's still a lot of human, there's a lot of actors still. There's a lot of human element that's still taking place there that I think offsets some of that CGI.
Right, because you have actual humans. In a case like this, you have no choice. It has to be just that. It has to be CGI.
Right.
You're not going to get anything else.
And, you know, and I hesitate to bring this up because the movie is 11 years old and, you know, obviously technology improves. But, you know, I did find the CGI a little wanting, you know. But if I think back to 2008, it was probably top notch. Like, you know, I'm sure it was great CGI. Now it falls a little short, especially with the, you know, the Hulks that we've had since this movie, you know, CGI-wise.
Well, it's... See, I remember back when Spider-Man came out, the first one in 2002, and I remember learning about how they designed the suit. Right. And it was all around CGI. It was like what he physically had to wear, they had, it was completely dedicated to what they'd already designed on CGI, that way they could easily replicate back and forth. So you didn't have to have a guy in a suit doing stuff. They could already make it. Well, Iron Man was very much the same way. And with Iron Man being all metal, it's very easy to duplicate, very easy for them to render that in the CGI and make it look realistic, right? Well, Hulk, the Incredible Hulk, has... He's a person.
Right. You need muscle. You need musculature. You need correct anatomy. You need and, you know, even throughout the movie, there were times where, you know, I felt like the head was larger in some scenes than it was in others. So I don't think it was 100% consistent throughout the entire movie either.
There was one scene I actually thought, like, the Hulk has his own Hulk fists on.
Right.
It's like his hands were down by his side, but they were huge.
Yeah.
I was like, that's weird.
Right.
But that's where, and that gets back to, we talked about months and months ago when we first started the podcast about the whole artistic part of it. That's where it's like human nature. You can judge that because you have a reference.
Right.
There's no reference for Iron Man.
Right.
So
reference for
where we can criticize that because we know that's not what an arm is supposed to look like, even though, yes, it's big, it's green, but we still get the idea. That being said, I thought in 2008 it looked good.
Right.
I don't fault them for that. And it's, what was the I actually have my sweatshirt on, so look on the back. I'm going to turn around.
Okay.
What was the next movie that came out after this?
Iron Man 2.
That's the next one?
Uh-huh.
Wow. So we went Iron Man, Hulk,
Iron Man 2. Before, and again, you'd have to turn around, but then probably Captain America. No, then Thor.
Yeah.
And then Captain America.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Thor, Captain America, then we had Avengers.
Right.
Then Iron Man 3.
Yep.
And then that's it. Then Iron Man's done at that point. So, yeah. So after that, I mean, you come in with, you know, they come in hot with Iron Man. And that, like, set the world on fire. Hulk, probably considered a little bit of a letdown, especially as things have gone on. You've liked the next one, then the next one.
Right.
I wonder if Hulk, if the Incredible Hulk, actually suffers from almost that letdown and then forgetfulness. Not anything they did themselves. We just watched it. That is not a forgetful movie. But
he disappears for a few.
He disappears because of, you have Iron Man.
Right.
And then after that, you have Hulk. And then right back to Iron Man again. And then everything after that is like recency bias.
Right.
But you always remember your first, which was Iron Man. And then you came right back to Iron Man again. And then you end up with Thor. That was, you know, oh, wow. Now we're at that point, the mentality of the MCU, I don't even think it was called the MCU yet.
No.
So the mentality at that time is, oh, we're getting another one. Yay. What's this one? That one wasn't. And then you have, now we legitimately get a little bit of a debate going for each of these movies. But then there's that poor Hulk movie just wedged in between two Iron Man movies. And the public just kind of is like, you by default throw it last.
Right.
Because, well, all right, you know, first Avenger comes out. Captain America First Avenger comes out, and you're like, oh, that was really, you know, you've got that recency bias. Well, how would you rank this? Well, I still like Iron Man. That was the first one. Then you got, well, Thor was last year. That was really good. So I'd probably put this right. And then we're like, oh, yeah, and Hulk. That was,
right.
So you see what I mean? It just by default ends up there. So I'm wondering if that had anything to do with it.
Well, I mean, it could have because, with the exception of Iron Man 2, which I didn't like as much, they were all better movies that came after the Hulk. Like, Thor was a better movie. Captain America First Avenger was a better movie. So, again, at that time, it is the last.
Right.
It's the worst of the MCU. But I think as more movies got released, you know, it probably did raise up a few notches. But who was talking about it anymore? You know, this is really, as far as the MCU goes, this is the standalone Hulk movie. I mean, there is nothing else. You know,
right.
He appears in the Avengers, but there's no Hulk 2 or nothing else to compare it to. So who's talking about it anymore? Like, nobody even cares. You know, you lost Ed Norton, so you had all that, you know, whole brouhaha that went down. And
I want to get to that.
You know, they never really made another Hulk movie. So I think it also just... Like you said, it just kind of gets forgotten. You know, there's no sequels, there's no anything to bring it back up to the forefront until he starts showing up in the Hulk, I mean, in the Avengers. And then, like you said, it's a different actor, it's a different, you know. And I think, you know, again, and I don't even know, and we probably will never, all of us know the full story about why, Ed Norton...
Why
he didn't return.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously there was some big conflicts between him and Disney or, you know, Marvel, whoever. So, you know, again, now is Marvel, they lost Ed Norton. So what are they going to do? They don't have any vested interest in trying to elevate this movie any higher or any more.
Right,
right.
The
because
character.
As far as they're concerned, they probably wanted to just let the whole thing fade away and...
Right.
You know, just forget about it.
They needed it. They almost like they needed
it
to
gone.
Fade away
right.
so that they could bring in Mark Ruffalo.
Exactly.
Or maybe, you know, at the, you know, actor to be named later. Let me ask you this about Ed Norton. There was a scene at the beginning of the movie where they do like an Easter egg to Bill Bixby.
Right.
And it's a courtship of Eddie's father.
Right.
Right. Right after that scene, they had a close-up of Bill Bixby on the TV. The shot went right to Ed Norton. Do you think it's possible they cast Ed Norton because he had a similar...
He resembled,
Bill Bixby.
He could.
And they were, because this movie had a lot of callbacks. Lou Ferrigno being another
one. Lou Ferrigno, Jack McGee.
They mentioned Jack McGee.
David Banner at the end.
Yep.
Banner. There was a lot of... you know, love shown to the...
Was it David Banner or Baxter? His name was... I remember when I was a kid, it was like, it was so close to Bruce Banner.
Well, it was... In the show, it was David Bruce Banner, but every week it was something different because every town he showed up in,
he had
it was...
a different name.
Yeah, it was, you know, David
because
Baxter.
Because McGee was hot on his tail.
Exactly. You know. But even, you know, they even made the joke about it in the beginning where he was trying to speak Portuguese, I guess, and he was saying, "Don't make me hungry.
You
wouldn't like me when I'm hungry." So, lots of love that they gave to the to that old TV show.
And I'm wondering if, like I said, that one scene where he just it looked so similar that was their entire casting purpose. And of course, they had to let go of that when he didn't come back, and then they go with somebody entirely different. Obviously, Mark Ruffalo looks nothing like him.
Right? Doesn't look like Bill Bixby or or Ed Norton, for that matter.
Right. So, I thought, what did you think of the story?
I mean, I think it was pretty solid for the most part. You know, I mean, I think the premise was good. I think the acting was good. I think, you know, all around, I mean, I think they did a pretty good job with it.
Yeah. Tim Roth was great.
I mean, Tim Roth was great. You know, that part of it was a little cookie cutter, I think.
It is a superhero movie.
Right. But, You know, I guess the question that came to my mind, though, is if, you know, if Ross has this serum and his goal all along was to, you know, recapture the Hulk to turn him into a weapon, but he already had this serum that he could use as a weapon, like, why is Tim Roth the first person he's used it on? Like, why did he wait?
Well, for all we know, he's not. You don't know, but he has had this.
Well, I guess if the same kind of side effects happened, he would have been have been too quick to give those shots out again.
True.
And he seemed genuinely surprised.
Well,
when...
I think the side effects only happened when he doubled up. Remember, because he went to that second. Here we are.
Well, that's
into
what
the whole plot points of the movie. But he goes to that the guy that helped out. Bruce Banner.
Yeah, the leader.
The scientist there in New York, the reason they were in New York to begin with, who ended up having a little blood dripping in his forehead, which another one that never gets played
out.
Well,
he's the leader. That's the character.
Oh, really?
The character, the leader.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's who he is. It just never plays out because
right.
there's never a sequel or anything like that. But even the doctor's name is the name.
Oh, is it?
That character's name, yeah. I can't remember what it is. I had it in my head a minute
yeah,
ago,
yeah.
but I forgot. But it's definitely the leader, you know, with the big head. And,
yeah, yeah. I never even dawned on me.
So, that was just a dangling plot thread that,
yeah.
you know, we didn't really get. But yeah, you're right. Some of the bigger side effects happened after, you know, he doubled up on the dose. But
because before that, he was a legit super soldier.
Right. But what I was going to say is I think Ross, though, was genuinely surprised when Blonsky survived, you know,
right.
and was able to heal. So I think if he had been experimenting prior with other people.
Good point, yeah.
You know, he would have seen that. He would have
like,
seen
he'll
some
be,
of that.
He would have said something like, oh, he'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be better in a day or two. Don't
give him
worry.
A couple days. All this.
Right.
His soup for bones will be fine.
So, you know, I just kind of I thought of that while I was watching it just now. If he's pulling this out of, you know, cold storage – now, why wasn't he already using it? And then I guess now we're skipping around a little bit, but as far as dangling
okay.
plot holes go, you know, again, you get to the end of the movie and, you know, what happened to the Abomination? You know, the Hulk knocked him out, but he's going to wake up and those guys can't contain him. So
right.
it's like,
well,
they just kind of let that go. Like, okay, he's knocked out. So, it's all good, you know.
Yeah.
He's defeated. There's probably not a cage that's going to hold him, and they just kind of let that hang.
Oh, that whole you know? the whole movie ends up just hanging. That's
right.
Just the way it goes.
Well, but again, that movie ended like every episode of the TV show ended.
True.
With David just moving on to the next town, and now I'm calling him David. You know, with Bruce just moving on to the next town, and you know, starting all over again.
Yeah.
So.
And as I said. Yeah. He's just heading north again.
Right.
Started in Brazil. He ends the movie in Canada.
I love how, though, I don't know why I just thought of this, too, but when we first see him, he's in Brazil or wherever he was, and he was 160-ish days or so without incident, whatever it turned out to be, right? And then, of course, like you know is going to happen, there's an incident and he turns into the Hulk.
Wouldn't be a movie.
Right. So, but then when he turns back to David and all of a sudden his pants, which grew while he was the Hulk somehow, didn't shrink back down, and he needed some new pants, but now he's already looking for stretchy pants. So in his head, he has no thought that he's going to go another 160 days without incident. He's like, well, you know, it's like I quit smoking. I smoked a cigarette. So now I'm back up to 5 packs a day because I need my stretchy pants for the next time I turn into the Hulk.
You know? Well, he is heading north.
Right.
So he's heading up to where he knows he's going to run into trouble.
Right.
So I don't know. But so I enjoyed this. I've always enjoyed the movie, but it did always fall towards the end for me.
Right.
So,
I guess I'll put it back to you. Like, even after today, where do you rank it now? Like, how far up has it really gone up in rank? Well,
that was going to be my point.
Okay.
Is I can't.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things. My point in this little exercise wasn't to get it to move up. It's why is it where it is?
Well,
and it's kind of where it is because I can't move it up. It's like, it's not like I just watched it now and I think it's better than X, whatever right. movie you're going to, whatever movie you're going to move it up. Just like when we're in the middle, pick a movie in the middle that we have, you know, like a Captain Marvel, and then you look at what's above it and below it and you're like, right. where am I going to move that? And it's, you can't.
Right.
And that's why I wanted to, I always wondered, why is it considered like whenever, you know, like I said, people cringe. You say, oh, The Incredible Hulk. Ugh. But if you really sit down and watch it, I really don't think it's that bad. But it is lower. It one of the lower. But
well, then it just comes back.
I think it's more of a, it's the worst of the best
right.
movies.
It just comes back to the fact that in relation to the other movies, it's lacking.
Right.
But that doesn't make it a bad, that doesn't make it a bad movie, you know? It's
right.
just, you know, where you're, you know, again, you're ranking it to arguably the most, I mean, you know.
Well,
mean,
let's
people are going to yell Star Wars and people are going to yell other things, but I mean, this is probably the most successful movie franchise.
Not probably.
In
is.
History.
It is.
You know, just based on the number of movies and the number of dollars it's brought in. So, you know, when you're ranking something and it comparing it to the most successful movie franchise in history,
right?
That's a tough nut to crack. You know, I mean,
and you know, it's funny. So, think of it this way: you've got the Incredible Hulk at one end, and Infinity War Endgame at the other end,
right?
I think that kind of puts it in perspective of like, yeah, it's not that good of a movie, which isn't bad to say when you're comparing that, you know, and I say Infinity War Endgame because they are almost one movie. And some people, I think you and I have them flip-flopped and a lot of people have them flip-flopped as which is one and two. But still, and there's a huge difference there.
Right. But that's like comparing my $50,000 check to my $40,000 check. You know, both of them are good. You know,
I would go I mean, 50 to 30.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
But you know, both of them are fine, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm not going to turn either one down, but you know, obviously 50 is better than 40. So
yeah.
Yeah, so you know, it's not an unfair comparison, I guess, because they are all Marvel movies.
No,
but
I was just trying to show like
right. No,
then,
I get it.
And then you have everything in between, but right. at the same time, take an Iron Man. Take Iron Man, the first one, which I have ranked, I'd have to look at my list.
Yeah, right.
It's so hard.
three or four though.
Yeah, I yeah. have it ranked 3 or 4, and I think there's a pretty big gap between that and in Infinity War and
right.
Endgame. You know what I mean? So then, but then, to be honest with you, after that, the gap between Iron Man and the Incredible Hulk, not as big, I don't think. And everything else in the middle falls in between.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's like what they did, what they've accomplished with those, 21 movies, actually 20 movies, and then Infinity War Endgame. Because that came before Far From Home, but
right.
just is amazing, and yeah, unfortunately, something has to be last. Whether you have it last, it's somewhere near the. I think most people have it near the bottom,
right?
And that it was this kind of fun. Like, why is it there? And I really like that idea that it came second, and it just kind of. Either by design of by Marvel or just by the public itself, just being like, oh, Iron Man, then Hulk, and you just lost interest in that movie. So
right.
that's why it remained at the bottom.
Well, I think something that it could be also is that, you know, like this is the only, well, I can, now that I say only, I can think of at least another one that's not, but this is a purely CGI character. You
yeah.
know, there's no real, like, he's not a super likable character,
right.
you know.
There's no
I mean,
Lou Ferrigno.
Right, but he's, like, hard to warm up to. And I was going to say he's really the only pure CGI character, and then I immediately thought of Groot and Rocket and all these other characters
yeah.
that are actually, you know, likable characters. But, you know, the Hulk's not he's not a lovable character, really. He's not super likable. I mean, he doesn't really speak. He doesn't,
he's really,
you know.
And I don't mean this in a I don't mean this in a mean way, but he's really like a tool.
Right.
Like he's a weapon.
Right.
That is like, you know, at least in this movie and in Avengers and, you know, the Mark Ruffalo, up until Professor Hulk, he was a weapon that was to be pointed at
right.
the enemy, and that was it. It's like he almost like a Scud missile. We don't know what's going to happen here, right. but we know we want it pointed in that direction.
Right. Well, and then the other thing I was going to say too is, you know, like since I did just mention Groot, I mean, of course Groot's super lovable, right? Like everybody's like, I am Groot, and he's great. But do you want a right. Groot movie?
No,
you don't. And it's like, and I think
we're getting the origin story by watching him grow and right. he died.
But I think that's part of what the problem is with the Hulk too. And like you just said, he's a weapon. He's a bit character. Like he's part of an ensemble, and he works great there. It's hard to carry his own movie,
right?
Because, you know, there's only so much he can do. A Hulk movie, in essence, every Hulk movie is going to be exactly the same, right? His job is just to smash whatever, you know,
right.
whatever you put in front of them, and
right.
that's all it's going to ever be. There's no, you know, like even like with Thor, if you look at the evolution of the Thor movies from, you know, the first one to Ragnarok, and how we talked about it, how much Thor changed between those movies and how he evolved, and like Hulk's not going to evolve, like nothing's going to change. He's always just going to be the Hulk,
right? And well, he did. He eventually, we didn't get to see it. He just all of a sudden showed up as Professor Hulk,
right?
And that was it.
Well, right, in different iteration,
right?
But again, he's. I would still argue, like I wouldn't watch a Professor Hulk movie either. You know, even in that
no.
form.
I don't find that as entertaining.
Right.
As, you know, Smash.
Right. Smash Hulk.
Yeah, Smash Hulk. So, all right. You got anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Anything else from the movie that was memorable to
well,
you?
Well, no, I think I brought up most of what it stuck out to me that I wanted to talk about. So, no.
All right. All right, then. Well, we'll wrap it up with that. As I talked about earlier, the conversation that I had at the Guitar Center, I wanted to say this. So that conversation, just like our shirts, our sweatshirts and shirts, well, my sweatshirts, you live in Texas.
Yeah, I don't have sweatshirts.
Yeah, you don't need them down there. But our t-shirts, they're meant to invoke conversation. And my sister, a while ago, it's her birthday today as we record this. So my sister's she loves to talk to people. I'm never been that person. I'm
right.
not a people person. And since this podcast, I've kind of become a people person and going into comic book stores and talking to people. Well, when we first started this, we were out with my sister or whatever, and I still really wasn't a people person. And she, out of the blue, I don't even think she knew at the time we were doing the podcast. And she's like, you got to get out more. And that's my sister. She just, you go out and you just talk to people for no reason. Just talk to people. And I was like, Don, that's not me.
Not going
to
do that.
And she means literally just open conversation with anybody. And right. she goes, you would not believe, I've been on trips because of people like this. It's amazing what the world that opens up to you. I'm like, I don't want the world open
right.
up to me, Don. I don't want it.
Right.
And I thought, and she's like, you know, Jen, my wife, laughing at me, going, he ain't never doing that, right? Well, lo and behold, here I am, and what I'm about to say, and I think it could kind of be a thing for us, and be like, hey, just go up to people, go up to somebody and say, if you're in line and you're just checking out, like if you're at, like, I don't know, Target or something, right? And you're checking out and be like, hey, I read comic books, have a nice day, and you walk away. And it's like, either they're going to think you're weird, which we already are. We're comic book readers. Or you spark up a conversation.
Right.
So that whole conversation I had at Guitar Center was not because of me, but maybe I want to reverse that. And it's like, just say that to people. And it's amazing because I'm finding out more and more people, whether it's stuff like that or just somebody asking about our shirts, like – you find out more and more people are interested in comics that you never would have thought of. And I just thought it was funny. And it, and then, of course, also being my sister's birthday, I thought I'd put this out there for her for her birthday to be like, yep, Don, you were right.
Right.
It's like, happy birthday, you were right. But it's like, yeah, that's kind of it, just tell
you might want to record that.
I, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
I don't think he understands how this podcast thing works
I
yet.
Don't.
So, just go out and tell people, hey, I read comic books. And then they're going to look at you funny, or you get a good conversation. It's a win-win.
There you go.
So we had some comments we talked about earlier. But, yeah, anything else about the Hulk? Anything we missed? Did you hate it? And do you have a reason why? Let us know. Hit us up on Twitter at brightside_chat. You can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. We're on iTunes, Google Play, blah, 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 all that. And we are on Facebook.
Facebook.com/brightsidechat.
There we go. All right. So, John, we don't even have to close up the store.
I know, right?
We just shut it off. This is fun.
It was.
You, the reception in the Skype tonight is incredible. It's like I can reach out and touch it.
Right.
All right. We're out of here. Talk to you later.
Take care.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors that we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.